Some of you may have seen online a video where there are two animals. One of my favorites is that it's a dog and a chicken. And they're going around a tree, and the chicken keeps just keeping out of the dog's eyesight. Even, you know, changing and going in the, it's just hilarious to watch. And I'm not really sure how the chicken manages to out-fox the dog. I'm sure a fox would not have been so fooled by all of that, but it's a good game. In a world that struggles to pay attention, because we do, and I was really interested and surprised. I've heard people talk about everywhere I go, everybody has their face in a cell phone. Everybody does. So I had a doctor's appointment last week, and I'm in the waiting room, and it's a waiting room for several different physicians. Every single person in there, except for me, because I was crocheting, had a cell phone out. Every single one. And there were a couple of people there that had small children who were vying for their attention. And, you know, every so often they'd kind of do something to pay attention to them. But, you know, just cell phone, cell phone, cell phone. At least they didn't have something that was like music or talking that everybody else had to listen to. So we do live in a world that struggles to pay attention. And just like my experience in the waiting room, you don't have to work hard to be unnoticed. Those children were certainly feeling that way. And just last week, Howard and I were talking about babies crying. And, you know, they can cry for a variety of reasons. But what they want is some attention. And those little toddlers in the waiting room were vying for some attention and maybe just a little affection, perhaps, something from their parents. So they turned to their distracted parent, saying, "Look, look, look at me, look at me." Now, they're not saying that, but that's what they mean. And in a home, say, with a dozen devices, those same children will pine after their distracted parents for a little attention. And again, it's not even just the parents. If there's older siblings, they too may have their face in a device and or on, you know, a computer or something that's now on their television screen. There's a lot of screens. And it's funny how that social media stuff works. So imagine this. A teenage girl posts a selfie on social media. I'm so envious of people that can take good selfies. I can't. None of her friends, however, click like or write comments on her picture. The silence is deafening. Now, perhaps they want to send her a message without sending her a message. The fact that they are ignoring the picture that she has posted. However, it's very upsetting to that individual. And it may, in fact, make for a sleepless night, or maybe a few. Almost no one chooses to feel invisible or unseen. I'm going to make a true confession here. When I go to church meetings, I like being able to be stealth because I can kind of, you know, just zip my way through the crowd, all of these tall people that are talking to one another, and or I can find a quiet corner and I can get out my knitting bag and I can just watch things unfold. But that's my choice to do that. So I think most of the time, people don't choose to be invisible or unseen. You like to be acknowledged. You like people to see you. And yet, for those who have felt this way or have been made to feel this way, you're not alone. And the woman in our gospel lesson in Luke, the one that was bent over for 18 years, she understood the pain of invisibility all too well. She knew it better than most. She had a chronic disability in a time and a place when a significant percentage of religious people associated her disability with God's judgment. And before rushing to judge them, we need to remember that 2,000 years later, many Christians still abide by the same unhelpful beliefs and theologies. You know, you must have done something. The woman also faces challenges on account of living in a patriarchal society. And at the risk of oversimplifying the matter, she lived in a society in which the voices, needs, and rights of men were usually privileged, and the voices, needs, and rights of women were usually ignored. So add to this the chronic pain she must have felt every day, all the time. More than one biblical commentator believes she had a condition that results in the fusion of the bones in her spine that created ongoing stiffness, inflammation, fatigue, and acute pain. So she endured two types of pain: the intense psychological pain of being rendered invisible, and the torturous physical pain of having a debilitating condition. Now, we do not know whether she suffered silently or loudly, but we do know that she suffered greatly. And even so, in our gospel lesson, Luke tells us that there is one near to her who sees things differently. And most important to the story, he sees people differently. He encounters her after concluding his Sabbath teaching. Women were not permitted inside the sanctuary of the synagogue at that time, so he had to seek her out and break with custom. According to New Testament commentator James R. Edwards, he said, "People with physical deformities were expected to remain socially invisible, especially if they were women. Women rarely, if ever, approached rabbis. Nor did rabbis, as a rule, speak to women." So we go back to our gospel reading. Jesus sees this woman when no one else seems to. Verse 12 says as much. When Jesus saw her, it wasn't just a casual seeing. Throughout his ministry, Jesus had his eyes trained to see those who were forgotten, left out, and unnoticed by others. Perhaps this way of seeing is what inspired the Apostle Paul to exclaim to the Corinthians, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, literally according to the flesh. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer view him that way." As great as it is that Jesus sees this woman, he does more than that, for he acts to bring about the transformation that she seeks. So again, according to verse 12, he also called her over. He sees her and he calls her over. The God who sees us is the God who calls us. She has been outside the synagogue, and he invited her in on the periphery, and he brought her to the center. Invisible one moment, and he called her the next. Jesus lays his hands on her to heal her. The imagery of laying on hands to heal occurs throughout the Gospel of Luke and in other places in the Bible. He also offers her words of life. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Through words and acts of healing, he sets her free. What a beautiful pattern. For Jesus sees her, calls her, touches her, and as he lays his hands on her, speaks to her and frees her. Sees, calls, touches, speaks, and frees. It's a beautiful pattern. Now, however, not everyone rejoices at this pattern. Jesus has healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue leader responds with indignation when he sees what has happened. Now, Jesus doesn't spare him or mince words. He calls this man and others like him hypocrites. He unleashes a classical rabbinical argument. If you are willing to unbind an ox on a Sabbath day to give it water, how much more should you be willing to unbind a woman who was bound for 18 years? So an animal, yes, but a person, no? One day, what about the 18 years that this woman has been afflicted? Jesus sees past our customs and procedures to a person in need, one whom he sees as, and he calls, a daughter of Abraham. And she is the only woman who gets this title in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus also called Zacchaeus, remember him? Zacchaeus, a son of Abraham. And it's curious that Jesus gives sacred titles to two religious outsiders. And in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist declared to the people that if they did not hear and heed, then God would raise up children to Abraham from the stones instead. So for those who are religious or who like being religious about their religiosity, remember, when you do not see others, Jesus confronts you. The church is not meant to be a country club, a health spa, or a gated community, but rather it is a place where those who are seen and freed by God are empowered to see others with eyes of faith. For those who know what it is like to feel invisible or unnoticed in a world that struggles to pay attention, remember this: when others do not see you, Jesus sees you. Those whom Jesus sees, Jesus frees. Like the woman in our gospel, you too can stand straight. We can all stand up straight. May we offer thanks to God. Amen.